Okay. Shirim this week, Mordechai. We are in the middle of Lamed Hei Mabez, two-thirds of the way down. It says the word Tana, about 20 lines up from the bottom. It says the word Tana, Devei Rebbe Yishmael. Across it says, has a little brackets on the side, Chalonos, Tana Devei Rebbe Yishmael. So in the middle of the discussion of these shofar blowings that took place on Erev Shabbos, to make sure people knew that it was going to be Shabbos that night, and at various times, various tekiyos, they stopped doing different things. So Tana Devei Rebbe Yishmael, Sheish tekiyos token Erev Shabbos, they blew six tekiyos on Erev Shabbos, Hizchel Tzchot Kirishona. Once they blew the first one, Nimnu Ha'omdim Basada, Mila Adar Umila Achrosh Umila Asos Kolom Alacha Shebasados. So by the first tekiya, the people way out, the people out in the fields who had to walk in from the fields back into town, they stopped working, stopped hoeing and plowing and doing all the work, and they started walking in. But the people who worked in closer into the city didn't stop working yet. First, the people outside work, and that was by the first tekiah. Veina krovin rashoin likanes ad sheyavo rachokim v'yikatzu kulam ke'echad. And the ones that were more closer to the city on the inside, they weren't allowed to stop working until the ones that were far came and reached where they were, and then they stopped working, and they all went into the city together. Rashi there explains here that this was because we didn't want people coming so late after everybody else had left already, and people would be choshi them that they still worked after it was already too late. So that's why the people who were, the middle people, stayed working until the outer, the Rechokim came, and the Rechokim came in. By the time the Rechokim came to the Krovim, so then the Krovim stopped working, and they all went in together. Via Dayin, and even after this, Tekia, Chanuyos Pesuchos, as we said, the inner people were still there, the people in town. So the stores were still open. V'trisin Munachin, and the Trisim were still Munach, were resting. What does that mean, Munach? The Rashi here explains, the Gemara in Beitza also explains that in the olden days, they used to have shops and wares. Imagine a shuk, a marketplace, and you had, in the front of the shuk, you had this window. But what kind of, how do you close up the window? Let's say you have this big wooden board that you put into the window to close it up. But when you open the store in the morning, you take off this board, you put it down in front of the store, and you put your wares on this board. That's what they used to do to show off their wares. They took the window block down, and they used to put their wares on it. So that's what it means here, that the stores were still open, and the trisin, these boards, were still munach, were resting on the floor with the wares on it. Hizkel, kotzki eshniya, once the second shofar started to blow, nistalku atrisin v'dinalu achanuyos, so then the trisim were removed, meaning the boards in front, they were put back on the windows. V'ninalochanuyos, and the stores were closed. V'yadayin, so now basically all the workers were finished and they started walking home. V'yadayin chamin munachan agabi kira, v'kederes munachan agabi kira, but all the food was still getting warmed up on the open fire. Hizchil, it's koa tekiah shlishes. So then finally the third tekiah started to blow. So then that's when all the preparations at home had to stop. Silek hamasalek, the hitman, hamatman, the one who removed the pot from the fire, took it away. The hitman, hamatman, and the one who wrapped the pots in different materials in order to keep the warmth. That's hatmana. They were matzmin the item. Again, the whole fourth parak of Masechta Shabbos is about the Issur D'Rabbanan of hatmana. But you can do hatmana in a mutter way also. That's what's referred to here. And they did hatmana. They enclosed the item, the pot. They hit the kamadz. Like, and after this third tekiya, as we saw yesterday, they did halakas neiros. The shohek k'deit sliyas da'katan okedil ha'advik pas betanur. And then after that was a wait of the time that it takes to roast a little fish or to put the bread into the tanner. Remember yesterday we had a machlokes, because we showed him, does it mean he actually did this or not, or you just wait the time that it takes for this? That was the machlokes, whether halakas neiros is a automatic Kabbalah Shabbos or not. That was based on how to understand this Gemara. V'tokeo meriyah v'tokeo. And then after those three, you blew another three tzkios, v'shoves, and then it was Shabbos. Then they rested. Fine. So that's the end of that Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, six lines up from the bottom. Shamati, I have heard. Rabbi Yossi says, you know what? You know what I heard? That if even after these six tekiyas, there was still a few minutes. There was still a few minutes. It wasn't exactly Shabbos yet. You still had a few minutes after those six tekiyos. Why? Shaharei, after all, nosnu chachamim shir l'chazen ha-kneses l'holuk shofar l'beiso. They didn't have a button you could press to have an alarm. They had a chazan haKnesses, who was, let's say, the gabe of the shul. He got up on one of the roofs and he used to blow these shofars in order to announce that it was Shabbos was coming. So the second after he finishes blowing, what? Is Shabbos already? How does he get a shofar home? It must be that there's a lag time. There's leeway that the Chazal must have given this Gabbai time in order to take a shofar home from the shul, from the roof, wherever he was standing. So therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, it must be for everybody. There's lag time and there's a couple of minutes after the Halakas Neiris, after the last shofar takes place. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Amar lo, they say to Rabbi Yossi, Imken asadav echel shiurin. That can't be. Because then there's no specific shear, right? This principle comes up in many places. It means that there's got to be rules and regulations. And if you're going to say, oh, no, you know, he's going to come home, he always has time to come home. Let's say one time you're going to have a gabbai that lives a block away from the shul. One time you're going to have a chazan that lives a mile away from the shul. What? Every time there's a gabbai, they blew in relation to how far he lives from the shul in order to give him enough time to go home? That's crazy. You can't have a halacha like that. Halachas have to be rules. They have to be clear. They have to be clear cut. It can't be that it's always going to be changing. So this can't be true. So what do? How do they answer Rabbi Yossi's claim, though? He has the shofar in his hand. So what does he do with it? How does he get it home? So Gemara answers it. He doesn't take it home. Elamakum sanua yeshlo lechazan haknesses brosh gago. There must be, on the roof where he's blowing, there must be a place where he puts the shofar down. Sheshab meiniach shofaro. Excuse me. And there he leaves the shofar. Lefisha metaltel and lo is a shofar, lo is a chazosos. Because he can't be metaltel. He can't take the shofar and the chazosos with him. That's a form of muksa. Various types of muksa, but that's one of the forms of muksa. We know having inside of nisa daraisa to hold a shofar. Right? In the shofar, let's say you blow a shofar, that's not nisa daraisa. This is rabbanan to make music on right, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says blowing shofar is in malacha, is it a chachma? It talks about at the beginning of the last parak. But either way, says the Gemara, it is muksa to be metaltel to move a shofar and chatzotzros. Remember, it's not also to touch muksa, it's just also to move muksa. That's what the Gemara here says. So that's why the second opinion of the Gemara says they must have found a place to put it down there. Okay, so it's a machlokas in the Gemara here whether you had a few minutes after the final tekiya to take the shofar, to give him time to take the shofar home, and therefore everybody else must have a couple of extra minutes also. Or no, he put it down right away, and really there was no extra time. There is a discussion on this line of the Gemara in Zmachlokas, between the Rama and the Gra. The Rama in Reis Samach Vav, and this comes up a lot of times. The Rama says that if you have muksa in your hands, you didn't realize you had muksa in your hand. You have muksa in your hands, and all of a sudden it's Shabbos, and I walk into my house. The Rama's case is, I'm in my house, let's say Friday night, and all of a sudden I realize I have a pen in my pocket. Right? Or I have my wallet in my pocket. Or something like that. I have my car keys. Right? So what do you do? Do you have to, like, take it out that second? Do you have to, like, pick up your pants and hold your pocket upside down and shake it out? We always know, that's a rule, that it's always better not to be metaltel muksa directly. It's always better to do what's called tiltumin hatsan, indirect. If you leave your shaver on your bed and you want to go to sleep, so you shouldn't take the shaver off, you should, let's say, pick up the blankets and the shaver could fall off by itself. But it's always better to do things indirectly. But the question is, what happens in this case? Let's say it is indirect, but do you have to take it out right where you are, or can you take it to your bedroom and then dump it out? Says the Rama, you can take it. Umi sheshachach kiso alav b'shabbos. Let's say you forget your wallet on Shabbos in your pocket. Imhu babeso, if you're in your house, yachol leilechimo lecheder lahatir chaguro v'lipol sham lematznio. You're in the front of the foyer, you're allowed to walk to your bedroom, and then get it out however you get it out. That's the sheet of the Rama. Once you have it in your hands, you're allowed to take it to wherever you want. Asks the Magen Avram, our Gemara seems to be mefurish against the Rama. Because what does our Gemara say? Right, but he has the shofar and the chatzotzos in his hand. So what's the discussion in the Gemara? It must be they give him extra time, or it must be he puts it out right away. What do you mean? The Rama says that once you have it in your hand, do whatever you want with it. So what is the Gemara getting so upset here about that you have to take it out right away, or you have to give him extra time? Well, the Rama says that we paskin once you have muks in your hand, take it wherever you want. So the Magen Avram answers. Magen Avram says you're right, but the Gemara is saying that lechatchila Chazal must have wanted to have a way that he wouldn't have to rely on this heter. But in Achinami, that's the Magen Avram. The Vilna Gaon isn't as understanding, and he argues on the Rama, based on this Gemara. When do you have, and there are some sources that allow you to keep it in your hands, when are you allowed to keep take wherever you want? Says the Gra, Avalini red to sham has cholas atiltel hu beheter, v'chol atiltel hu beheter. Masha'inkin kan shebe iserhu. Umisha achal shum verecho no dave. Yachzer b'yochal shum, we know that lashon. You ate some garlic and you breath snails, you should eat more garlic. In other words, says the Vilna Gaon, when do you ever have such a heter? That's only when you picked it up, when you were allowed to pick it up. If you had a heter to pick it up, so then, now for example, let's say there's a pen on my Shabbos table. And, you know, I don't want a pen on my Shabbos table, or I have to put a plate down where the pen is. So what's the halacha? A pen is called kli shemlachta l'isser. That might not even be called muksa. Some of us would say that's a different category of items that you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. But kli shemlachta l'isser, a pen, a stapler, a scissors, all those are a kli that's usually used for an isser, for an avera. So what's the halacha about those items on Shabbos? The halacha is you're allowed to move those items, l'tzarach gufo, l'tzarach makomo. If you need that item for a mutter reason, for example, I'm going to use my stapler for a napkin holder. Might not look so Shabbos dick. But it's maker than it's mutter. Let's say I'm outside and the stuff's blown away. I could use something like that. I can't use a rock. A rock is muksa machmas gufo. Inherently muksa. That you can't move, period. But if you have a kli, and a utensil is usually used for an isser, you're allowed to use it for a different. You can use a scissors to cut a chicken. That's another heter. What's that? That's called muksa tzarech gufo. You're using it for a mutter purpose. Then there's another heter called tzarech makomo. If I need the space where that item is. And then I can move it directly. Forget the elbow, forget the knocking it off. Kli shemalachta l'isser, the halacha is, it's mutter l'sar gufo l'sarach makomo. That's the halacha. Again, all other muksas don't have this heter. That's what reflects the fact that Rav Shechter likes to say that that's not muksa. That's called the gzeira of tiltul kalim. We'll see on Kuf Chav Gimel, by the Shem, in a couple of months, that that might have been nigzar at a different time in history. The gzeira of tiltul kalim. That's not muksa. There's muksa. Machmas gufo, machmas chesron kis, muksa machmas mitzvah. There are a lot of muksas. But klish machmas lister is different. That has the heter, l'sarach gufo makomo. Says the Vilna Gaon, when do you have the heter that once it's your hand, you can do whatever you want with it? When you were allowed to pick it up. I pick up the pen from the Shabbos table, right? Because I want to put my plate down there. Tzarach makomo, 100% mutter. Now it's in my hands. What do I do with it? I have to drop it? The halacha is no, I can take it and put it wherever I want. That's halacha l'maisa. Says the Gra, that's the only time when you have such a heter. But if you picked it up, if you didn't realize it was in your pocket, that wasn't a mutter thing to do. So you forgot, you were mezasek. That was it. But the Gra says you have to take it right away. So so the Gra says you reject the Ramah. So it's a machlokes b'chav, the Gra and the Ramah. Hey, that's important to know based on this Gemara. So we'll see that in a minute. We'll see in a minute. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Very good. Whether you want to use the shofar for another purpose. So back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, there's a machlokes here, whether you assume that the Chazal gave a couple of extra seconds after the low shofar blow. Asks the Gemara, second to last line, v'hatanya shofar mital to v'chazos zayin mital tzlin, Yoni's question. We have a brisa that says, you're allowed to be mital to the shofar. Why? Because Rashi here explains, a shofar is bent. Shofar is bent, so therefore you could use it for something. You could put some liquid into the shofar and give it to a baby. It could be an old-fashioned baby bottle, right? You put some water in it, and you can use it. But a chatzotros is straight, right? It goes right through, right? So that's, so you can't use that for anything. So we have another brisa that says, a shofar is not muksa. You could use a shofar and not a chatzotros. So how could we just say in this, we have two brises. The first brisa says, shofar and chatzotros are both muksa. And the second one says, a shofar is not muksa, and a chatzotros is muksa. So, amar rav, yosef, lokashe, kam biyachid, kam betzibur. It depends if you're at home or betzibur. Biyachid, you're allowed to use it, because you could use it to give your baby. But betzibur outside in public, so then you can't use the shofar, and that's the brisa that says it's muksa. So he asks the Gemara, Amalei Abaye, what do you mean? Ubiyachid amai chazi, what's the whole reason that why biyachid it would be fit to use? Hol v'roi l'gabei abomayim latino, because you could give it to a child. Betzibur nami, next amud, betzibur nami chazi l'gabei latino ani. What do you mean? Just because you're in shul, you can't use this shofar to give to a baby? Or who's an ani, who's a poor person who's living in the shul? So what's the difference? By tzibur and yachid, that can't be the chiluk between the two brises. Visu, and furthermore, says the Gemara, we have a third brisa. Haditanya, kashem shematilin, metaltan is a shofar, kach metaltan is a chatzotros. We have a brisa that says even chatzotros are mutter to be metaltel. So we have three different brises, right? One brisa that says both chatzotros and shofar are muksa, the other one says both are mutter, and the other one's machalik, shofar is mutter and chatzotros are muksa. So what's going on here? Says the Gemara, Mani, who are these opinions? Ela Lokasha, Ha Reb Yehuda, Ha Reb Shimon, Ha Reb Nechemya. Three different shitas. Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon we've had before. Gemara sometimes says, Reb Yehuda holds a muksa, Reb Shimon doesn't hold a muksa. What does that mean? Tosfos says in a number of places that doesn't mean Reb Shimon rejects the concept of muksa totally. It just means Reb Yehuda holds of more muksos, the most muksas. Reb Shimon holds of less muksas. And right, just look at the Tosfos for a minute. Harab Shimon, second Tosfos, the less Rab Shimon, the less lay muksa el muksa machmas chesron and kiss. That's the muksa that he holds up. Muksa of chesron kiss, which means of a very fancy item that you don't touch. A fancy camera is muksa of achmas chesron kiss. That's one of the most chomer muksas. If you have a fancy picture on the wall, that also might be muksa of achmas chesron kiss. A driver's license might be muksa of achmas chesron kiss. So there's different categories. V'dafikot ha'guf ha'makomo hu d'shari. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says three different opinions of the Tanoim, and that's how you answer the Braisa. The Braisa that says that shofar and chatzosros are muksa, so that's Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of the most muksas. The Braisa that says that both shofar and chatzosros are mutter, they're not muksa, that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Aye, what about the one that's machalik that says shofar yes, chatzosros no? So that is, I made a mistake. HaRabbi Yehuda, let me say it again. HaRabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that has the middle shita. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says Chatzosros is Aser and Shofar is Mutter. Why? Because you could use Shofar for a Mutter purpose, right? That's the Rashi. Shofar mitaltel, because Shofar you could use, is a called a Kli. It's rounded, you could use it as something. But Rabbi Yehuda holds a Muksa, Rabbi Yehuda says the Chatzosros is Aser. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's Mechalik. Rabbi Shimon is the one that says both are not Muksa. Rabbi Nechemya is the one that says both are Muksa. What? Rabbi Nechemya, that's so Mchamor. What's his Svara? How could he say that even a shofar? A shofar is a kli, a shofar is bent. Why is that muksa? So Rashi here quotes the Gemara later on. The Rebbe Nechemya has the most chomer shita. He says that you could only use a kli on Shabbos for what it is usually used for. Even if you could find another mutter purpose for it, you can't use it for that purpose. Ein kli nital ela ledavar tzarech davar hanital. Or with the Lashon Rashi quotes. Look at the first skinny line of Rashi. Eini talan el tzarech tashmisho hameyuchad. That's Rashi's lashon. You can only use it for the tashmish, for the usage that it's usually used for. Tosfos has a little more expansive shita in Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Notam doesn't like Rashi. Tosfos says it means it's tashmish that it is rugil to be used for. It's normal to be used for, but not miyuchad to be used for. There's a little difference between Rashi and Tosfos. But either way, Rabbi Nechemya is limited that you can't use a shofar for a different purpose than what is usually used for. So he's the opinion that says both shofar and chatzosros are muksa.
So how would he explain the Gemara of this and what the Chalak is?
So what do you mean, how would he explain? Look, there are three brises. There are three different opinions. So there are three different tanaim. There are a lot of argue on each other. Yeah. Correct. According to Rabbi Nechemya, he might reject the heterm of klisha malachto le iser, because if it's usually miyucha le iser, then he would reject that. We pass in lekula. We pass in laheter by those cases. So Gemara now just asks one extra point. Umay shofar nami. What's the question? The Gemara questions here that in the brisa of who we just said was Rabbi Nechemya, the brisa says that shofar is muksa and chatzosros is muksa. So the Gemara is bothered. Shofar is in theory a less muksa item than chatzosos, right? Shofar could be used. It's a kli. So in the Braisa, once it says shofar is muksa, why does it then have to say chatzosos is muksa? Shofar is the bigger chiddush. So once you say shofar, just say you can't be without the shofar. And then we'll know that you can't be without the chatzosos. So Gemara says, Umay shofar nami chatzosros, kidder Rav Chisda, damar Rav Chisda, haini tlasmili ishtainu shmaihu bichar beis hamikdash. Says Rav Chisda, there are three items that after the Churban Habayis, the names were changed. And people used the words in opposite ways. And the first one on the list, Chatzotrosa Shofra, Shofra Chatzotrosa. Whenever you see the word Shofra, it means Chatzotros. Whenever you see the word Chatzotros, it means Shofra. So that's why in the Braisa of Rebbe Nechemya, it says Shofra first and then Chatzotros, because really it means Chatzotros and then Shofra. And Shofra is the bigger Chiddush, that's why it says it second. Lamai nafkamina, but what is another nafkamina besides what we just said in the language of the Braisa? What difference does it make to us that we know that shofar nowadays is called chatzosos, chatzosos is called shofar? L'shofar shal Rosh Hashanah, to know what to use on Rosh Hashanah, to know that you have to use a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So if you find a late source, mukar, that says chatzosos, you know it means shofar. And that's what you're supposed to use on Rosh Hashanah. What's the second item that name has changed? Arava tzifsefa, tzifsefa arava. Lamai nafkamina lalulav. Says in that you have to use one of the dalaminim is an arava. We know a tzifsefa, Rashi here explains, based on the Gemara's in the Mishnah in Sukkah, a tzifsefa is a pasul type of arava. It's not an arava. So nowadays, though, the names have switched. When people say tzifsefa, it means arava. When it says arava, it means tzifsefa. And the nafkamina is to know what to use on Sukkot. Pesura, pesurta. Pesurta, pesura. Psura is a small they're all tables. Pasura is Rashi explains here, they used to call a big table Pasura and a small table Pasurta, and nowadays they switched it. Again, what difference does it make? Why nafkamina? Lamekach umamkar. If you tell somebody you're selling them a Pasura or a Pasurta, you have to know exactly what is meant by these items. So those are the three things that changed. Amar Abaya, af ananomar hovlila bekasi, bekasi hovlila. Also, these two names are switched. What are these things? So Rashi explains, comes up in Ksubis as well, that these certain animals have four sections in their stomach. And I didn't understand this fully, so I always knew that we always say that if kosher animals chew their cud. So I never focused on what exactly is a cud. But then I wanted to understand it. I looked in the article, that's a nice footnote there. So it talks about it. And one of the stomachs, when the food is processed up, it changes into cuds, and then that goes back up and it's rechewed, and then it goes back into another section of the stomach. So Baruch Hashem, now I know what a cud is. A cud is after it's semi-processed, softened in one of the stomachs of the animal, so then it goes back up and it's rechewed. You always know that's what happens, but what's a cud? But now we know it's rechewed, and then it goes back to one of the other stomachs. But what's important for our Gemara? Our Gemara, there's two parts of the stomach, two sections of the stomach, one called Hovlila, one called Bekasi. One of them has a very thick wall, like a double layer, and the other section has a very thin wall. And in Hilchus Treifus, there's a difference between the two. If you open up an animal and you find a needle, you find a splinter that goes through the wall of the animal, so if it's the thin wall, that makes it a treifa. And even if it has a beautiful shechita, you got to throw the animal out. It's a treifa. You can't eat it. But if it's the double wall, the thick wall, so then if it goes in on one side, if it doesn't come out the other side, it's still kosher. It's not called a treifa. So regarding that halacha, that's what it says. These are two important these are two parts of the animal stomach. So, and the names were switched nowadays. So Lamai Nafkamina, the Gemara says, what's the difference to us? Lamacha, to a needle, shenimseis ba'ovi beisakosos, that is found in the wall of the beisakosos, which is one of the sections. The mitzad echad ksheiro, mishteis adem treifa. If it's only through one side, is kosher. If it's through two sides, is a treifa. If it's the thick one. But if it's the thin one, so that even one side, it goes right through, it's very thin. So that's why it's important for us to know exactly which one is called which. Amar Ravashi, there's one more. Af anu nomar, there's one more two words that are switched and meant mean different things. Bavel bursif, bursif bavel. Those two words. When you say bursif nowadays, you really mean bavel and vice versa. L'may nafkamina legite nashim. What's the difference? For to know for Hilchas Gittin. What does that mean? So Rashi here quotes two opinions. Number one is that we know from the first sugya in Gittin, the first five lot, is about the sugya that if a get comes from Medinas Hayam, from outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. The Edom have to say before me it was written, before me it was assigned to Lashma. And the Gemara there says, though, that the people in Bavel were Bekian, were experts. Therefore, you didn't have to say B'fani Nechtam, B'fani Nechtam. You didn't have to say this declaration from people if you come from Bavel. So it's important for us to know what's Bavel. So that's what we know. Nowadays, Bavel is called Bursif. Bursif is called Bavel. Roger goes another day of Ani Omer, which Tosa doesn't like. Maybe it has to do with which names you have to write in the get, because Hilchos Gittin is very complicated. Exactly the new names of the city, the new names of the people. So Rashi says maybe La'inyan Zeh, you have to know exactly where they're from, what city you're in. It's important to know the names of the city. Okay? Hadron Allah, Bab Malikin, yeah. This just comes in because the Gemara had a question about Shofar and Chatzosros. About why does it say Shofar first and then Chatzosros? The Shofar is the bigger Chiddush, just say Shofar. So the Gemara says, really, Shofar meant Chatzosros. So really, it did say Chatzosros first. And what the Gemara gives one example of two words being switched from what they usually meant, so it gives four other examples of names that have switched. Okay. Perek Kira. The world of Kira, we are up to the next five or six blot. The first half of this perek is all about the Isurim that are called Shehiyah and Hachazara. There are three Isurei Drabanan of Shabbos. Three, they're in a group. Shehiyah, Hachazara, and Hatmana. The first two are discussed in this perek. Hatmana is discussed in the fourth perek. What are those halachos? Shehiyah, again, we'll get this, the details over the next couple days. Shehiyah is, to be mashe, is to leave a pot on the fire before Shabbos. Shehiyah is done before Shabbos. There are rules and regulations how I'm allowed to leave a pot on a fire, open fire, covered fire, how much cooked, how little cooked. That's the world of Shehiyah. That's Erev Shabbos. On Shabbos, you have something called Hachzara, returning something to a fire on Shabbos. If you put it on for the first time on Shabbos, or you just return a gift to a fire that it was on Shabbos, that's all the world of Hachazara. Again, some Shehiyah is going to be Mutter, and some Hachazara is going to be Mutter, but we just have to know how to do it. That Shehiyah is before Shabbos, Hachazara is on Shabbos. We're going to get to, Hashem, not today, but there are five conditions that have to be in place for you to return something in a Mutter way on Shabbos for Hachazara. That'll be, Hashem, not today, but that'll be on Laman Ches, in 2 days from now. But anyway, that's the background of these two concepts, Shehiyah and Hachazara. Again, the Gemara is, the Mishnah is also going to describe, there were different types of ovens in the olden days. There were medium heat ovens, very hot ovens, and less hot ovens. We're going to talk about a Kira today, which is one type of oven. A Tanur is the hottest type of oven. That's going to be later on. That's going to be the next Mishnah. Alam Chesu Abayis is going to talk about a Tanur, Shehisikua. We're going to see it's going to be more Chamur. And then there's going to be a Kupach, which is also talking about there. That's in between. Kira, Kupach, Tanur. Again, today we're going to talk about a Kira. So now let's get to the Mishnah. So the first 2.5 lot is really one sugya. It's the beginning of Shehiyah. So kirashi kisikua bakashu gvava, a kira that was heated with kash and gvava, straw and stubble. The important point about straw and stubble, why straw, is that it gets burned up immediately as it's lit. When you light straw, there's nothing left. This is going to be in contrast to the next line. So if you put kira shi zikubach hashiv gov, if what you're using on the bottom of a kira is straw and stubble, nosin ala tavshel. Again, the Mishnah is going to have a few lines. We're not going to really understand what they mean. The Gemara is going to explain more what they mean. But it says you're allowed to put a tavshel, you're allowed to put a pot of food on a kira that is heated with kashin gvava. That's it. Directly on the fire. Is it Shabbos? Is it before Shabbos? Who knows? The gefes uba eitzim, but if it's heated with gefes, that's the Rashi explains the peels of the of olives, some type of peels or of the shumshimin of the sesame uba eitzim, or using wood logs. What's important about these items that even as they're burned, they're still there. They don't get burned up right away. They're there also, and therefore there's a chashash, there's a worry that as it is burning, you might come to stoke the coals, to stoke the wood, to make the fire bigger. That's called Shema Yechate Bigechal. And we had this a little bit in the end of the first parak. But because these items remain as they are being burned, that's why there's a more chamor, stringent halacha by these items. So lo yitain, so by those items, you're not allowed to put the kira down, whenever you're putting it down, ad she yigrof, until you shovel away the coals, o ad she yitain es ha'efer, or you put cool coals on top of this, in order to cool down and to cover these hot coals. So in that way, hopefully you'll remember not to be a mechate b'gechalim. Just two important points on this line. It says you have to shovel away the coals. How much do you have to shovel them away? Let's say you have a fire burning, you have some coals there or some logs, so you have to shovel everything. There can't be anything left in the oven. So it's a three-way machlokas rishonim. And we're machmir when it comes to grefa. We don't do it anymore. Nowadays we cover. We're going to talk about a blech. We'll talk about other things, hot plates. But what does grefa mean? So the Ramban and the Rashba here both say you got to take out all the coals. The heat is still in there. It's still going to cook. But you got to take out kol gecholim. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Kol gecholim. But the other poskim are a little more makel. The Rambam in Parag Gimel says, seems to say rov gecholim, majority. And then the Balamar and the Ran passes like the Balamar, it just means, no, you just have to push them to one side of the oven. They could be in there. Just put them to one side and then put the pot on the other side. That's what is allowed. That's what's meant by grefa, but it's a tuya machlokas, and we paskin lechumra. Oh, actually, eat in a sefer, or you put the efer down. This is called garuf v'katum. We're going to have those words about 1,000 times over the next couple of days. Garuf v'katum, you have to cover the fire. What do you mean, cover the fire? So you have to do it too. Is garuf means sweep out the coals, and we just had a sheet, this, how much you have to sweep it out. Or katum, ketima, means to cover. Important Rashi here, we alluded to this Rashi on the Chaf earlier. Rashi is, oh, actually, eat in a sefer. Al gabi gecholim. What does Rashi say? L'chasosam ulitzananam. To cover them and to cool them. Rashi says both. What if you have one or the other? We spoke about the Chazon Ish Shita on Daf Chaf. He doesn't like blechs. The lok most poskim hold blech is a covered fire. The Chazon Ish doesn't like blechs because of the Rashi over there and the Rashi over here. Because what does it say here? Ulitzananam. A blech doesn't make things cooler. You might argue on the Metzius. But the Chazon Ish felt that metal conducts heat, so a blech doesn't make it a covered fire. So that's why he said the covered fire isn't only to cover. You might say it's only to cover, because as long as you cover, you won't come to stoke the fire, because it's covered. I'll remember, oh, it's Shabbos. Right, that's why you cover. But Rashi also says, letzananam. So some points say it has to cool off. So if it's cool off, or let's say you line in the inside of a crock pot with tinfoil, as we're going to talk about, in order to have that as a covered thing. What, that really cools it off. If it raises it, okay. But let's say you just have one thing of tinfoil that puts it in. That might even make it hotter. So is that covered? So the minhaga olam is to be meko. Many poskim lakula. But there are yechidim poskim that are machmir because of this sheet in the Rishonim that has to cool off also and not just cover. Okay, those are 2 points on that line of the Mishnah. That's part A of the Mishnah. 3 parts to the Mishnah. Part A is this difference between kashing vava and gefes and eitzim. Part 2. Beishamai omrim chamen avalo tavshil. Beishamai omrim chamen vitavshil. Beishamai says, this whole halacha only applies to chamen. To literally, you would think chamen means liquid, and tavshil means food. What's the difference? So Rashi says it only applies to chamen. Once you have boiling water, you're not going to make the fire hotter because it's already hot. It's already done. We've spoken about, from Yatzel Ladin spoke to Roschin, is there Bishul Daraisa there? That's Machlokas in the Achronim. But said the Beis Shammai, Chamin, you have this heter. But Tavshil, which can be what's called Mitztamik V'yafilo, even if it's fully done, you know, the Shalom's fully done Friday night, but on Shabbos morning, oh, that's geschmack. It's even better, right? Because it's mastamik v'yafalo. It gets even better. So then, that's what you have a more chomer opinion. What's allowed in the part A of the Mishnah says Beis Shammai is not allowed for tavshil, only for chamin. And Beis Hillel says chamin for tavshil. No, it's even allowed for both. Part C, Beis Shammai omrim notzlin avalo machzirin. Beis Shammai says you're allowed to be no-till. You're allowed to take off from the fire, but you're not allowed to be machzir, to return to the fire. Beis Hillel omrim ach machzirin. Beis Hillel holds, no, you're even allowed to be machzir, return to the fire. Again, the Mishnah is oblique. We don't know what the Mishnah is talking about. On Shabbos, before Shabbos, it uses the word of machzir at the end, but what exactly is that referring to? Okay, just one note, which is it's a generalization, but it's true according to many Rishonim, not all. I'll say it now, not all, but many Rishonim. Most Rishonim say that we said Shehiyah and Hachazara. The reason for Shehiyah, according to most Rishonim, is, as we said, Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. If you leave something that's not so cooked on an open fire before Shabbos, we're worried that it's not going to be ready, and you're going to stoke the coals on Shabbos, which is an Issa D'Oraisa. So that's why we have to take precautions and not be Masha even before Shabbos. That's Shehiyah. Many Rishonim say Hachzara, which talks about putting things on the fire on Shabbos, that's not Shem Yechata. Some say it is, but many others say what Rashi here says, the second to last Rashi on the Mishnah, Lo Machzir B'Shabbos, to Mechzi Kimavashel. It looks like cooking. So even if something is going to be fully cooked on Shabbos, and let's say it's a solid food, and there's no bishul achar bishul, and all the wonderful topics that we're going to talk about, there's something called mechzi kimavashel, that even if there's no bishul d'oraisa relevant, if it looks like you're cooking, so then we're going to apply the principle of mechzi kimavashel, which is an issa d'rabbanan to do. So again, that might change. We're going to see one or two cases where the poskim in Eretz Yisrael and in America are different, because there's something that's more usual to do in Israel to cook on and not in America. So there might be differences with this, because that's mechzi kimavashel. But those are the two principles that we have to know, Shem Yechata and mechzi kimavashel. Yeah. Yeah. We don't know yet if the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah or Achazara. We have to wait to the beginning. But Beis Shammai is very limited in whatever he's holding. Only Chamin, yes. Why Chamin? So at least according to what Rashi said in the first day, yeah? And Rashi has 2 days there, we mentioned the first one, that by once something is fully cooked, water, it can't get better. It can't get better, so there's no worry that you're going to do anything.
Yeah, but didn't we say that if you sweep the coals away, then there's no issue?
If you sweep the... But Beis Shammai is saying that... Right, so you might say that even if you sweep the coals, what are you worried about? What is he going to do? So, Beis Shammai might have even more of a chumrah. Maybe you're not going to come to bring more coals, but we'll get to that. Okay, Gemara. Iba Elohu. Hai lo yitain. So the Gemara, remember we said there's A, B, and C in the Mishnah. So we're going to talk about A. Iba Elohu. Hai lo yitain. When in the first part of the Mishnah, it says, you can't put something on a kira unless it's garfa katum. What did that mean? You can't put. Lo yachzirhu? Did that mean, is the Mishnah only talking about hachzara, meaning what happens on Shabbos, referring to returning something to the fire on Shabbos. But to be mashe, to leave something on the fire before Shabbos, that Mishnah's not talking about that. That would be mutter. Uma, what do you mean mutter? What shehiya is mutter? I thought there's a concept called shehiya. Umari Chananya hi. No, but it's the shita of Chananya, the famous shita of Chananya. If it's not famous to you until 5 seconds ago, now it's famous. The famous shita of Chananya. The Tanya Chananya Omer. This first three plot is all about Chananya. Chananya is shehiya. Shehiya is Chananya. That's the sugya, the shita of Chananya. So what does Chananya say? The Chananya Omer Kol Shu Kamacho Ben Drusai. Says Chananya, once a food is machu ben drusoi, which we said is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, a third cooked, a half cooked, basically edible. Once a food is machu ben drusoi, according to Chananya, there is no shehiya. You leave it on an open fire before Shabbos. That's the shita of Chananya. So, says the Gemara, how do you interpret the Mishnah? Is the Mishnah like Chananya? In other words, the Mishnah is only about Chazara. Ha-Chazara. Some people call it Chazara for short, but it's really Ha-Chazara, to be Machzir. Chazara is to, you know, you return. La-Hachzir is to, it's Hifil, it's to return the pot. That's why the proper word is Ha-Chazara. So says Chananya, says the Gemara, is the Mishnah only about Ha-Chazara, but it's not about Shehiya. Shehiya would be Mutter, meaning as long as it's Machu Ben Jusai. That's one way to understand part A of the Mishnah. O Dilma, or should we say no? The Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, who argue on Chananya. L'shaos Tnan. Really, when it says Lo Yitein, that's talking about Shehiya. That's talking about you can't even do Shehiya. And of course Ha-Chazara, because Ha-Chazara is always worse, because Ha-Chazara is on Shabbos. Shehiya is even before Shabbos. V'garfakatim eni lo. And if it's garfakatim, if it's shoveled and covered in, then you would be able to do it on for Hachzara, for Shehiya, Ilolo, if not, the Kulsha came Lahachzir, and a Hachzara, which is always more Chomer than Shehiya, because Hachzara is on Shabbos, and she is before Shabbos, so that for sure would be Usr. Basically, the Gemara is asking, is the Mishnah going like Chananya or not? Remember, the Sheet of Chananya is that once something is Mavushal, Machal, Ben Drusai, a third or a half, leave it on an open fire before Shabbos. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes, do we pass on Chananya? Even though the Gemara is not going to end up about it for another two blocks, we're going to talk about it a little bit. Yeah.
It seems like Hamzara is only worse if you hold that the problem with Hamzara is that you might come to start the cold. But if you hold that only because it looks like cooking, that really doesn't seem like such a stringency.
Why Hachzara is the question was that Mexican Mavasha doesn't seem as strong as Shem Yechada. It is, even though it appears to us that it's just like a Marisayan kind of thing, Mexican Mavashel, in a way, might be even more chamor. Because we mentioned in the past that there's a difference between what's called a Gzeira Durabanan and a Malacha Durabanan. A Gzeira Durabanan is if you do this, you might come to do that. So that's one type of drabanan, but there's something that's also called a malacha drabanan, which is it's a little malacha. This a real kosev and drabanan kosev. Like if you are right with your left hand, so is that because you might come to right with your right hand, or that's kosev mi drabanan? That's a lower level kosev. Mexican mavashel, it might be bishul drabanan, which is someone more chumra than just a gzera. You might come. It might be inherently bad drabanan. But again, I understand this. We're not saying which is more chamer, but obviously anything done on Shabbos is more chamer than anything done before Shabbos. Forget the reasons for the halachas. So the Gemara asks, is the Mishnah like Chananya or not? So there's going to be about five or six tashmas. We're going to do the first one today. Tashma. So Gemara says, remember the three parts of the Mishnah. Midaktani Tshrei Babi B'Masisan. It says two cases in the Mishnah. Beishama Yomrim Chamen Avalo Tavshil. Beisal Omrim Chamen V'Tavshil. Part two of the Mishnah. Beishama Yomrim Nodal Avalo Machzir. Beisal Omrim Af Machzirin. That was part three of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, one second. So, E Amar Bishlam Alashahos Tanan, if you say the Mishnah is against Chananya, if you say part A of the Mishnah is about Shehiya, so then the flow of the Mishnah makes sense. Why? Because Hachiktani. Kira Shisigo Bakashu Gvava, Mashin Ala Tafshil, Begevas Beitzit, Mashin Ala Tafshil. If it's heated with straw, then you're allowed to be Mashe, Shehiya the Tafshil. Begevas Beitzit, Mo Yisha, Shigo Fashidinus Efer. But if with his other fuels, with other materials, you have to cover Umahin Mashin. And what are you allowed to do Shehiya, even in the limited way, by Kashin Gvava, Beishami Omer Chamer Avalo Tafshil, Beishami Omer Chamer Vit Tafshil. That's part A and B of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah must switch over. And just like part A and B of the Mishnah are about Shehiya, so too, they argue, that's part three of the Mishnah. then it makes sense. If part A of the Mishnah is about Hachzara, which we've said, and therefore the Mishnah would be going like Hanania, because the Mishnah is saying Yisurim, and Hanania is Mutter. So, because the Mishnah is about Hachzara, and Hanania is about Shehiya. So then Hachitani. So then what would the Mishnah be talking about? Kirish, Yisiko, Bekashuk, Vava, Machzirin, Alea, Tavshil. Then the Resha, the part A of the Mishnah is about Hachzara. Begavaz, Ubeitim, Lo, Yachzir, Ashi, Yigor, Bachi, Yidin, Asaifer, Umahin, Machzirin. And then the part B is modifying part A. When is Chazara allowed? When is Hachzara allowed? So part A and B of the Mishnah are already about Hachzara. So what's part C of the Mishnah telling us? We already know it. We already learned it for the first two parts of the Mishnah. So if part A is about Hachzara, and therefore we pass, and it's like Hananya, because Hananya is about Shehiya, then the flow of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, no, maybe there's a way to salvage the Mishnah, even according to Hananya. Top of Lamazayim and Aleph, Liola Meimalacha, Lahachzir Tzan. Really, the Mishnah is all about Hachzara. And it's like Hananya. V'hachi chisurei mechzura. And there are words missing. And Top Tosfos just said, even though chisurei mechzura is always dachuk, but Bali Tosfos l'shitasim say, we pass from like Hananya. Tosfos says. And therefore, we're trying to be mokum the Mishnah like Hananya, even though it seems dachuk. That's the top little two-line Tosfos. So, the chisurei mechzura of a hachik tani, this is how you can read the Mishnah. Kirish yisiku b'kashuk v'vav machzirin la tafshil. Really, right, the first line of the Mishnah is about hachzara. But now, add in these words. Avol l'shahos, I'm sorry, those who only have volume one of our scroll, gotta switch. Avol l'shahos mashin, avol b'sheino garfeino katum. But to be masheh, you're adding these words to the Mishnah, you're allowed to do that even without a covered fire. Umahin mashin, and now, so this, look what the Chisur Mechzer did. Part A of the Mishnah is about Hachzara, but then it switched to Shehiya. You add in the words. So then it's about Shehiya, and then we go back to Hachzara. So it's not all about Hachzara, Hachzara, Hachzara. It's not a repeat. Umahin mashin mishami omer chamna volo tafshil b'silo omer chamna vitafshil v'hachazara da'ami l'cha. And now, the Chazara that I spoken about in the part A of the Mishnah, so then, Lavo Divrei Kolhi. You should know that not everybody agrees to that. Ela machlokes beishamo beisilel. That itself is a machlokes. Beishamo yomer noten avlo machzirin beisilel omer af machzirin. Period. So we have salvaged the Mishnah at least for the first Tashma to still hold by Hananya. The question was, Hachzara, Hachzara, Hachzara. It's all a repeat. The answer is no. It's Hachzara, Shehiya, Shehiya, Hachzara. The structure of the Mishnah is A B B A, and there's no repeats. Fine. So the Gemara, and again, I'm not going to be here the next 2 days. I'm going to be going away. Again, it's a busy week, but the Menachem is going to talk more about this. But just 2 points. Do we pass them like Hananya or not? So the Minhag HaOlam, if you look around the world, the Velt is Machmir. We're all Machmir. What, once something is Mevushal called Tzarcha, we leave it on an open fire before Shabbos? Right? We'll walk into the kitchen, we're like, where's the blood of it? But Mikra Adim, what do we pass them? So this is a major, major machlokas we've shown him. The Rambam and the Rif paskin like the Rabbanan, Rashi and Tosfos paskin like Hananya. Major machlokas. Who do we paskin like? So it's a machlokas between the Machaber and the Rama. The Machaber quotes both, but he seems to paskin like the Rambam and the Rif, and the Rama quotes Lakula. So Meikar Hadin, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah points out. Meikar Hadin, we paskin like Hananya, which means once a food is a half, or a third cooked before Shabbos, there is no Isser of Shehiya. You can leave it on an open fire. You want to take out Shalom Friday night and then put it back on? Then you need a covered fire. Because for Hachzara, we're going to see, you're going to need a covered fire to put anything back on the flame. But for Shehiya, Me'ikar Adin, we paskin like Hananya. That's one issue. And that's a huge, the Rush quotes the Machlokes, and the Rush says, is an unbelievable lashon. It's quoted here in the, Beis Yosef quotes it, and the Bir Halacha quotes it. I'll just quote it from here. The Rush says, "Debipnei she Yisrael adukin b'mitzvahs onik Shabbos b'vadei lo yishmu lanu lahachmir al ken hanach lahem." Because Klal Yisrael is so machmir when it comes to onik Shabbos, they're not going to listen to us to be machmir. So therefore, hanach lahem. There are enough shittas that paskin like Hananya. So that is the Rush. So there are many, many issues that come up halacha lemaisa regarding this topic. I'll just mention two very quickly. And again, we'll mention some as we go along. Menachem will mention some in the next 2 days, and Bez Hashem after the summer when we get in our Shabbos Shirim to the Shiachzer Hatzmana on Shabbos afternoon, so then we'll talk more about it. Two issues that Rav Moshe talks about. What happens if you make the fire totally to the highest? So then there's no issue of Shem Yechatzah. You can't make it even any higher. Is there still an Isser? So Moshe's Machmer again, it says low plug. Even though it's the highest, so then you're still a Chumrah. But another issue Rav Moshe says, and that is maybe the whole issue shouldn't apply to our gas ovens. Because it says Rav Moshe that in the olden days, what were they worried about? They were worried about you're going to stoke the coals. They weren't worried that you were going to bring more wood. That was never a chashash. They were only worried that you were going to do something with what you have. So says Rav Moshe, our ovens, when you make the fire bigger, that's not stoking, that's adding new. That's more gas. So says Rav Moshe, misvara, Rav Moshe says this, misvara, you should say, the whole issue doesn't apply bizman hazeh. Because our ovens, it's about Shema Yosef, not Shema Yechad. But Rav Moshe says, I can't do it. Even though misvara it makes sense, then it's l'chumra. After all, says Rav Moshe, it's so much easier. Even though there's no issue of Mosef, it's so much easier, you just turn the knob. So then, says Rav Moshe, Lamaisa, he's machmer. But then the last thing, and then we'll stop here, and that is, but what do you have to cover? So in the olden days, they cover the fire. But nowadays, you never touch the fire. You do the knobs. So do you have to cover just the knobs? They quote B'Shem Ravaran Cutler, or by Eider quotes. Ravaran Cutler says you only have to cover the knobs. Maybe be the Yevid, not the fire. Because the knobs is what you move. It makes sense. The knobs is what you adjust. But Rav Moshe says that's a possibility, but Rav Moshe says you have to cover both Lamaisa, that's what we hold. If it tells somebody Talmud or Ravar and Cutler and they have that Shmuel, that's what they can hold. But again, the minhag of most of Rov Shitas is that you cover both. But again, not just the fire, but also the knobs. That's why you have the blast that bend. Right? You have the blast that bend to try to cover the knobs. You put the tinfoil on the knobs. But either way, this is the start of the sugis of Kira, Shem B'Yachata, Mechzik and Mevashel. It's very important issues, and B'ed Hashem, the next couple of days, we'll do even more. Okay, again, but the Teishia was L'Zech HaNishmas David Tzvi Ben Dov Mordechai, and the next 2 days, I'll be back with Hashem Friday. Friday morning, we'll do the daf, but Menachem will take care of the next 2 days, and it's solid stuff. It's Hananya. Gotta be here.
Tani. Tani.